Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Dave Sparkman. Dave is the founder and managing director of Spark Your Culture, a corporate culture advisory services firm specializing in helping organizations transform and flourish through healthy, high-performance cultures. In his corporate career, Dave earlier served as the Senior Vice President of Culture at United Health Group, a Fortune 5 public company, and he had over 9 years in that role, and he led efforts to infuse over 300,000-person organization with corporate mission and values that help improve corporate results. And he's got some great thoughts to share around how, as a leader, you can positively impact the culture of your organization. Looking forward to today's conversation with Dave. Well, we met a number of years ago, but for our listeners, can you give us just a brief overview of your career or kind of how you've gotten to where you are today?
Sure thing. I was trained as an accountant. So became a CPA early in my career with a firm called Arthur Andersen, and stayed with that firm for a number of years, switching from accounting into the HR and operations, the people space. Arthur Andersen hit a little bump called Enron and a big scandal about over 20 years ago now. So for the first time in my life, I became unemployed. And after looking for a job for a while, found one at a company called United Health Group. And they're in Minneapolis. And so moved from our family from Los Angeles, California to Minneapolis, and was with them till January of 2019. And now I'm self-employed doing some advisory services and volunteer work.
Great. So I always like to ask this question most every guest. If you're able to go back and spin back time to that when you were a 22-year-old, when you knew everything and you were getting ready to enter kind of the workforce, what do you wish you would have known earlier?
You know, it's a great question and one that I wish I would have been more deliberate in figuring out what my skill sets and gifts were. I looked at going into being an accountant. I can't even imagine myself being an accountant now. I'm just not built for that. You know, there are things you can do in life, but is that really what ignites the passion and fuels the giftings and the skills? And that's something I wish I would have been. I would give myself the advice, be more deliberate and intentional to figure that out.
One of the common areas that you focused on as far as a leader of HR. Tell me your most recent title at United Health. It was people and culture. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was the senior vice president responsible for culture at United.
So talk about kind of that shift as far as and what you learned going through the process of helping a large organization change culture. It's, I think, maybe a lot easier for a small organization because you don't have as many people and groups that you're working with. But talk a little bit about that as far as kind of as you started that journey of helping them with that.
Yeah, so we started the culture journey back in 2009 when our CEO, Steve Hemsley, decided that we needed to get more focused on our organizational culture. To that end, he hired a consulting firm called Sen Delaney to assist with that. And I was fortunate enough to be on the ground floor of the work with them and was asked to facilitate the processes around that. And it turned into a full-time job of culture. So my role at the time was I was a chief administrative officer for one of our divisions there at United Health Group. And then when we got started on the journey, I was asked to usher that in and support it. And that turned into a full-time job around culture. I learned a lot about what not to do, Mark, in that. There were certainly a lot of things I thought I knew as to what culture should look like or how it should be shaped. And I found out many of my original thinkings were not correct and had to relearn a lot of things along the way. But thankfully, through a lot of patience and perseverance of many other people, was able to stay in that role till I left in January of 19.
So a lot of times, and we've got a lot of new and up and coming leaders that listen to the podcast, and sometimes they go into a team that's already established and then the organization has a particular culture. But when somebody says we need to improve our culture, what do they usually misunderstand about what culture really is?
I think a lot of people, I was included in this as I started the journey. You think that it's a series of to-dos that you can accomplish just like any other list of task and take it off the list and you're done. And it's anything but that. It is a never-ending process. And instead of relying on what I call the six P's of plans and platforms and programs and policies and processes and projects, you've got to focus on each individual and allow that person to go through a transformational change because all of us contribute to the culture. So if I were a young leader getting started on trying to focus on culture, I would not allow myself to rely on those six P's, although those are necessary to help accomplish culture. But I would get into much more deeply who we really are as an organization, how would we articulate that, and how do I help each of the people that are in my organization become aligned with a clear vision and focus on who we are as an organization.
So how much do you think culture is driven by the top leader, the CEO of the organization, versus the broader leadership team?
I think it is... has to be driven by the most senior leader in the organization. However, that person needs to quickly engage the leadership team or it will fall apart. I don't believe that a sustainable culture is built on the power of a personality. I think it needs to get the broader team involved.
So what do you think leaders are doing, maybe not intentionally, but that undermines the culture that they say they want? What do you think are some of the things that they're doing?
I think a lot of us as leaders forget that people are watching us all the time. I mean, it's a very common thing, you know, Mark, that you need to lead by example. And just like we think we model our behaviors on task and competencies or skill sets, we need to model that same thing in the behavior of our character. And just like you and I both have adult children, and I'm still finding that my adult children are still watching how I behave as a father. And I think that's that same concept or approach is there with the teams that we lead within our workplace.
As you've observed leaders in your organization, whether it's in the distant at Arthur Andersen or later in your career, any stories about people that you watched as far as that led in such a great way that made an impact on you as far as around culture and the impact? Any stories you can share?
Sure. A lot of different leaders had an impact on me growing up. One of the leaders at Arthur Andersen in Los Angeles was our managing partner, a gentleman by the name of Dick Palladian. And he's a very quiet man. Not a thump your chest, speak loudly type of guy, but when he speaks, people listen. And he had, I think, just a wonderful way of how his character came through in his actions, in that he would never ask anyone to do something he would not be willing to do himself. And he led by example.
So what behaviors should... do you think that leaders need to focus on as far as modeling first before making that culture stick as far as the right type of culture?
For me, one of the things I still wrestle with is curiosity, the behavior of being truly curious. I have a tendency to think I know the answer, right? We're trained to assess the right. situation, take in all the facts we can, and then make a decision and move. And to recognize that that is necessary, but are you really gathering and tapping into the wisdom of the team that's available to you within your organization and the vantage points and perspectives they have, knowing that their filters are different than yours? And even though I may think I see something very clearly, to recognize that I need to be curious and ask, being truly open to other solutions, is something that I have learned and am still learning. And I think when I look at a lot of the teams that I've worked with, that's been a downfall or a blind spot for many of the teams.
So you've been a part of a large United Health Group is a Fortune 20 company?
Fortune 5 company. Yeah.
So you've seen the mammoth, the gorilla type company that, you know, is one of the largest. How can a company or organization still maintain a strong culture even though they're growing rapidly? And again, you know, some of the people are in much smaller organizations, but how do you keep that culture healthy even with rapid growth?
Yeah, the idea of scaling a culture is a question I get quite a bit, given that the size of United. And I always come back to it's one person one day at a time. And much like you want to mass produce a product, you can't ever lose the quality of the product that you're producing. And people are people, whether you have four or you have 400,000 that are working in theory toward a common cause. How can you be clear with what you're trying to do? How do you ensure they're aligned with what they're doing? How do you manage expectations and allow them to attach themselves to, in our case at United Health Group, the values of the organization became our mantra as to what we would all say we would subscribe to. We never want to lose the diversity and the beauty of bringing all sorts of schools of thought and people together, but we need to align around why we're here and what we're here to do. Our purpose, our mission, and our values, and how we're going to get those things done. And so whether you're four or 400,000, how do you help people know what that is and allow them the time to quickly get around that and start pulling in the same direction?
So besides, and I'm sure there were some things that the organization, the consulting group that you brought in to help with the organizational change, what are some things that people can take that are small, do you think, action things that leaders can do to take immediately to improve the culture? What are some things that they can do to get it out in front of their team to make sure that you can take those small steps to go in the right direction?
I think the first thing is to open up a conversation with your team about culture. A lot of people throw that word around, and yet do we really know what we're talking about? So, you know, Mark, you and I are both in Minnesota, and when you get into the political world, people bring up Midwestern values. What exactly are those? Do we know what those are? Do we? And so I think a lot of people, when they talk about the culture at their organization, to simply ask the people that you're working with, what do you think about our workplace culture? How do you define it? What's going well? What's not going well? What might we be able to change to improve it? So to start to articulate what it is you're actually talking about, instead of throwing around these vagaries, people will tell you what they're thinking. If, again, going back to, if you're curious, if you're truly open to what they're thinking, and then you can start to have some very rational conversations using policies and programs and processes to get it going, but you still have to anchor yourself on what are we exactly talking about here with culture.
So as a leader, you ask your team what they really think of the culture and find out as far as kind of what their thoughts are. So if you get you're blown away by the negativity of your group. How would you approach that as a leader to say, okay, I hear you and I understand this is your perception of what we're about. Give some, maybe some practical things that a leader could do in a group that maybe is feeling that way.
Yeah. If you are, feeling that there is a negativity, even leading to a toxicity around your culture, you may need some facilitated help to work through that. I would always counsel folks, you know, never go down alone, you know, get some folks in there to assist. But what I have also found is that many people are just hesitant to actually talk about the realities of their culture and ask the questions. So one of the questions or statements that I like to use to get people started is this two statements: all organizations have cultures. The only choice is whether you shape it or it shapes you. Mm-hmm. What do you all think about that? There's no wrong answer. There's a lot of right answers. And so for them to recognize that their own behaviors are shaping the very culture that they may have an issue with. And it may be that they point to the leader as the problem. That leader needs to be ready, and maybe they need to have some Kevlar on to take some hits. And if you're not really open to trying to do something about culture, then I wouldn't ask the question.
Right.
But I have found that a lot of people skirt around the issue rather than just to jump in like they would in solving any other problem. I mean, this is a business issue. We're not doing it just to feel good and sing kumbaya and everybody feel nice toward one another, although that's terrific. We're doing this to get better results. And we've all heard the phrase culture eats strategy for lunch, and that is so true. But if you don't ever start a conversation and be prepared to take action on it, then I wouldn't start the conversation.
Yeah. So around hiring, how does culture impact the hiring and retention more than compensation and benefits? What have you seen as you've looked at?
It affects it quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, we've all heard that people leave people, they don't leave organizations.
Right.
And culture is made up of the people and their behaviors toward one another. And if you ever want another way to get started on culture is to say, how many of you have ever worked for a dysfunctional team? Almost every hand will go up. Mm-hmm. And if you say, think of the person in your mind who causes that, they all immediately think of somebody as well. So that there's a reason people stay or they go. And one way I believe that companies can do a better job of hiring for the right cultural fit is to be clear about what their culture is. Mm-hmm. And I've found that to work by defining very clearly your mission and your values. And do you interview it from a behavioral standpoint against those values? So you can start to shake out whether they align or not align. Not that they're going to be homogenous in their views of those values, but right. We need to subscribe to the same thing.
So what role does trust play in high performing cultures, and how do leaders earn that trust?
It plays a huge part in culture. Again, from a question standpoint, hey, who wants to work in an area without any level of trust in your colleagues? Well, yeah, right. That's a silly question. Yeah. And we all, I think, have had to work hard to earn trust. We've all been burned by people that we thought we trusted. We may have let down people ourselves that trusted us. And a good friend of mine, David Horsager, wrote a book called The Trust Edge, where he talks about the eight pillars of trust. And you need to be competent. You need to have a contribution. But I think the most important one of his eight pillars is meeting your commitments. And if you failed in meeting a commitment, the quickest way to earn back trust is to fulfill another commitment, and not to shirk away from that, but to lean in, acknowledge I've made a mistake, And then if I can actually do what I say I'm going to do, that's going to lead to trust.
And I think a lot of, and we've had a number of guests that have come on, that have talked about earlier in their career, they were afraid of being found out for not having all the answers. Mm-hmm. So that whole, which it's probably been overused, the imposter syndrome, of feeling like, hey, if I'm honest with my team and they find out that I don't know everything, they're not going to look at me with the same eyes. They're going to think less of me. What have you found as far as your experience working with a lot of different leaders that you've seen over the years?
The best leaders that I've worked with that have led the teams that I've been on are just open and honest and transparent about what they need our help with. Mm. That's why we have a team. And they're not so full of an ego that they feel like they have to talk about themselves and what they contribute to the team. I mean, positional power gives them the ability to lead the team. There's a reason they've been given that position. And over time, you see it demonstrated. And you see that their actions do back up their words, which leads to trust. It becomes a very virtuous circle. So to me, you want to always tap into the wisdom of the team, or else why do we even have the team? And the more I can honestly say, I don't know the answer to this or that, and that's what I'm looking for you and your assistance on. I think we all have to be comfortable in our own skin as leaders and do our best to bring out other people's best that we lead. Mm.
So I'm sure you continue to grow and develop as a leader, even though you've had a great track record of leading others. Any books that you would recommend to? You mentioned David Horsager's book.
The Trust Edge.
Yeah.
You know, one that I read early on in my career was a book called Lincoln on Leadership by a gentleman named Don Phillips. And I enjoy the Civil War quite a bit. And just, I've admired Abraham Lincoln for years with the way he led with character, made a lot of very, very difficult decisions. So I've found that book to be very useful for a lot of folks that are interested in culture. There's a book called Winning Teams, Winning Cultures by Larry Sinn, the consultant that we hired in his firm. And it does an excellent job of outlining a process to approach shaping your culture.
Great. Any favorite quotes that you like to refer to?
You know, two that come to mind. One is, all that matters can't be measured. I'm not sure who said that originally, but when I talk about culture and did throughout my time at United Health Group, people want to measure everything, right? Mm-hmm. We measure what we treasure. Yet all that matters can't be measured. And how do you measure energy or spirit or drive or unity? Those are very, very difficult things, or trust, very difficult things to get our hands around. And so to say you're going to have a return on investment that you can measure on investing in culture, I would suggest you're not really ready for that, because I've never found a way to measure it truly. I mean, there's all sorts of surveys and things, but sure. Causal correlative way to do it, very difficult. The other quote that we used extensively was, who you are is speaking so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. Hmm. Kind of going to the aspect of your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Yeah, that's good. So outside of work, what do you like to do to recharge?
You know, I like to get away from people for a little bit, because most of my work involves people, and take some hikes, listen to a podcast. I enjoy hunting, so I like time in the woods where it's just quiet and can get some reflective thinking and recharge that way.
So what parting advice would you have for a new or up-and-coming leader?
I would just encourage everyone here, all of us, to lean into corporate culture, workplace culture. You do have the opportunity to shape it. It is happening whether you choose to address it or not. And I wouldn't be afraid of it or think you don't know enough to address it. Because as a leader, you do know enough to address it. You know how you like to be treated. Right. How can you help treat other people in the same way and encourage them to spread that? And for me, let's be clear with what it is you're talking about with culture. And you can define that in any number of ways. So lean in and start your work. Never ends.
Absolutely. Well, this has been very helpful for those that are listening. And how would somebody learn more about your work and your consulting that you're doing with different organizations?
Yeah, you can go to my website at sparkyourculture.com. Reach out to me that way, dave@sparkyourculture.com. I've got a book that should be coming out in the first quarter here, Mark, entitled Your Character is Your Culture, Lessons from United Health Group's Transformational Journey. So I'm hopeful there are some lessons there that can further help your listeners and all of us as we try to lean more into workplace culture.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to getting a copy of that book. And again, appreciate your wisdom and all that you shared today, and wish you continued success in all you're doing.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.